Every show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. President Bush will now meet with Israeli and Palestinian leaders in Jordan during an upcoming visit to the Middle East. The scheduled talks just the latest effort by the United States to push its most recent plan for peace in the region. The president is scheduled to travel to the Red Sea resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt after he attends the Group of Eight summit in France this week. The White House says he will also stop in Qatar to visit U.S. Military Central Command headquarters. That Middle East visit is scheduled from June 2nd to June 5th. Police investigating the suicide bomb attacks in the Saudi capital of Riyadh 2 weeks ago have now arrested five suspects. Those three separate attacks on residential compounds killed 34 people May 12th. The latest on the story now from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The alleged mastermind of the attack, Ali Abdulrahman Al-Ghamdi, is reportedly among the detainees. The five men were apparently seized in the holy city of Medina over the past few days. Both the American and Saudi governments have blamed Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda network for the Riyadh attacks. Four men suspected of involvement were detained last week. The country's interior minister said they were among 19 suspected Al-Qaeda members identified earlier in May. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
The human rights watchdog group Amnesty International says the United States-led war on terrorism has made the world a more dangerous place overall. The group's Secretary General Irene Khan says there's been a massive increase in human rights abuses since the September 11th attacks, even right here in the United States.
What would have been unacceptable on the 10th of September 2001 is now becoming almost a norm. What would have been an outrage in Western countries during the Cold War? Torture, detention without trial, truncated justice is readily accepted in some countries today for some people.
In its annual report being released today, Amnesty International accused the United States of ignoring most international law and human rights regulations by still detaining prisoners from the Afghanistan war at Guantanamo Bay.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Suspected serial killer Jerrick Todd Lee will now be returned to Louisiana from Georgia to face murder charges. Lee was arrested last night near an Atlanta tire store and waived extradition during a court hearing earlier today. He's a suspect in the murders of five women so far during an 18-month period, and he's been charged already in one of the killings. A judge will rule by the end of the week on releasing autopsy and warrant details in the case of the murder of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son. Both the prosecution and lawyers for husband Scott Peterson, who's charged in the death, argued yesterday release of the documents would hinder the investigation and could result in harmful pretrial publicity.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night.
Mm-hmm.
And for breakfast today,
yes.
And lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win Game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
The tension continues to mount on the Korean Peninsula as diplomats fail to agree on the appropriate format for continued talks between North Korea and other regional players on Pyongyang's suspected nuclear program. More from correspondent Celia Hatton.
According to the South Korean envoy to the U.S., U.S. diplomats are ready to sit down at the negotiating table again with North Korea, but only in a multilateral setting. Ambassador Han Sung-joo told the Reuters news agency that the U.S. would be prepared to negotiate an end to North Korea's budding nuclear weapons program in talks that include other regional players. Pyongyang has stated its intention to hold multilateral talks with Japan and South Korea only after unilateral negotiations with the United States. The pressure remains for diplomats from all countries to find a solution. South Korean officials have announced that Seoul will delay shipments of aid to the impoverished North if Pyongyang continues to raise tensions in the Korean Peninsula. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Ay, 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 Julene, what is going on with this bush? Okay, that is what my friend Connie here in South Florida says. And I say, Connie, listen to the show, and you can find out. Hi, I'm Julene Jordan in for Peter Werby. Usually the announcer says that, but I think he got mixed up because Peter Werby is actually gone for the next 3 days. He's down in Tennessee, in fact, doing a little work and a little play. If you are listening on the internet, you saw that on the homepage. I'm Julene Jordan, Peter's producer and co-host, and once again, doing the solo gig for a couple of days. I'm glad to be here. Another day of opening the show saying, welcome to you, and what the hell is going on in the world today? Or should I say, another day of what the hell is the Bush regime doing now to further erupt U.S. world relations? Well, the corrupt foreign policy that we've seen, well, you know, a little bit throughout presidential history, but never at this. These are heights unknown to man and womankind. This corrupt foreign policy just keeps on trucking underneath President Bush. And it all started, remember when that speech, Axis of Evil, you know who was included in that? Of course, also Iran. A country that appears to be, after we look at all of this posturing against Iran by the United States, by G.W. Bush, a country we've really had not many formal relations with since the Iranian Revolution a couple of decades ago. Really no formal relations. Now the members of the Bush regime talking about the idea that we are not close to the breaking of diplomatic relations with Iran when I say we have none. Remember when we sent those chemicals to Iraq, those weapons of mass now discussion, with full permission to Saddam Hussein to use them against Iran? Remember? Back when Iraq and Saddam Hussein was our pal, they were our friends. Well, now it looks like Iran now harboring those terrorists and those weapons of mass destruction, those nukes, and the Bush regime saying that it had received word that Iran had arrested some al-Qaeda members. Remember that? We heard that. Well, for Iran, it seems that if you arrest them, then you're harboring them. Then you're not following the rules, according to G.W. Bush. So the posturing going on, lots of canceled meetings, a lot of words, a lot of tough demands. And this is what Ari Fleischer, wow, how much longer do we have of him? Another month? Please, get him out of there. Get them all out of there. Ari Fleischer, the White House spokesman for a little while longer, says that the steps that Iranians claim to have taken in terms of capturing al-Qaeda are insufficient. It's important that Iran live up to its commitments and obligations not to harbor terrorists. So see what I'm saying? They are active in getting these supposed and allegedly getting these al-Qaeda members, these terrorists, yet then, well, see, now you have them, you're harboring them. Ah, unbelievable. Also, Ari Fleischer talking about this whole nuclear thing. And Iran has said that they use it for nuclear energy. They use it for nuclear power. And, of course, Ari Fleischer dismissing Iran's actions on terrorism also took a tough position on Iran's nuclear program when the government in Tehran says it's for peaceful purposes. And this is what he says. The United States rejects that argument as a cover story. Our strong position is that Iran is preparing instead to produce fissile materials for nuclear weapons. That is what we see. Then we hear American officials. You know, it's just so broad and so vague. American officials said that they were also studying official comments in Moscow that Russia was also trying to persuade Iran to keep its nuclear program peaceful, especially the Russian-financed reactor there, which the United States says could be used to make weapons-grade plutonium. Remember all of these same words, these same terms, the same rhetoric that was used in the big buildup before the Bush administration said, let's go into Iraq? Before it actually happened. Same thing. This is all so familiar. So is Iran next? What do you think? 1-800-TALK-YES is the number here, and we'll take your phone calls a little later in the half hour. We are in the hour, I should say, at the half hour. We'll have our guest, Russ Porzal, on. He is a Washington-based political analyst and is active with the Alliance for Progressive Iranians. So this will be interesting talking about coming from this political analyst also involved with a group of progressive Iranians, or Iranians, as we should say, because that's the correct way. Earlier this month, there was a scheduled meeting. Now, this is where we come in and talk about all these canceled meetings, okay, and this posturing. Earlier this month, a scheduled meeting between Iranian and American officials was canceled. Now, today, this was actually, I believe, yesterday. Yes, it was. Late yesterday, Colin Powell is playing down these divisions. So first they breathe their fire, the Bush administration, and then they take it back. It's all of these scare tactics that they aim at these countries. And also you have to keep in mind Project for a New American Century. Iran is one of these countries that they believe needs to just be, you know, of course, liberated and democratized. Ha ha, what a joke. Iraq certainly is not any of those. Now, Richard Boucher, the State Department spokesman, dismissed the idea. This is where he says that the United States was close to breaking off diplomatic contact. We have ways of communicating. We have ways of contacting them. And we would expect to do so again. That's what he says. Well, to me, from what I see, and I'm just one person, you tell me what you think, their ways of contacting Iran are, you know, throwing out these threats. American officials, once again, this is from the New York Times, say their priorities toward Iran have been to stop its nuclear weapons program by using a combination of diplomacy and implied threat of force. Implied threat of force. See what I'm saying? And to try to end Iran's support of terrorist groups. And Donald Rumsfeld yesterday, citing that Iran should be on notice. Efforts to try to remake Iraq in Iran's image will be aggressively put down. And what we're talking about here is this idea that Iran is supporting the Shiite groups in Iraq. And these Shiite groups that are fighting out and saying, hey, listen, we want to do things our way in Iraq now, and what they're fearing is this Shiite theocracy that they, meaning the Bush administration, does not want to see happen in Iraq. Dennis Kucinich, my president, my next president of the United States, let's hope. He speaks out about this very issue. Administration's rhetoric toward Iran is dangerous and destabilizing. I love this guy. Have I mentioned this lately? He is amazing. Kucinich, who is ranking member of the Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security, Emerging Threats, and International Relations. That's a long title. He issued the following statement. The increased rhetoric and the dangerous approach that this administration is threatening towards Iran is a dangerous and misguided policy that will destabilize the region and further isolate the United States from the international community. Think how already isolated we are because of what happened in Iraq. Let's go down to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where we have affiliate KTRC Radio and Sarah, who's calling in. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Julene. Just real quick here, sure. I just want to encourage anybody who's listening who knows anything about this to call in. We're going after Iran not because of nuclear weapons or militancy or anything. We're going in there because they are an essential part of the oil package. It was explained to me several times, and I don't have it together enough to go through it, why if you capture Iraq, it's almost useless without Iran. You have to have Iraq and Iran together because of some infrastructure, the way the pipelines are set up or the way the
borders
distribution
perhaps
is set up.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely have to have Iran if you have Iraq. And I do not have the facts on that, and I just like to throw it out there.
Sure, Sarah.
Thanks.
So you absolutely, thanks for calling in. And I was going to say, you know, maybe this goes in line with the Project for a New American Century. And anyone else who wants to call in and talk more about this, of course, there's oil. Of course. And then there's also this entire entity where there is support. They accuse Iran of support on Hezbollah, which attacks Israel. So there's all of these different things. Yet, the administration, you're right, Sarah, they are saying that, you know, it's these nukes and harboring of terrorists. Once again, Dennis Kucinich also saying that he feels it's disturbing. He says it's disturbing that as the nation is just beginning to learn that it was misled in the building up to war in Iraq, and it was, that this administration is seeking to continue its dangerous policy in the region with an aggressive posture towards Iran. I'm so glad to see him once again speaking out. And he's saying, talking about, you know, the Middle East region is at a critical juncture. No question. Kucinich continues, now more than ever, it is critical that the United States work with our friends and allies in the region to root out terrorist cells and implement a peaceful solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now is not the time for a continuation of this administration's misguided policy of preemptive and unilateral war. Hear, hear, Dennis Kucinich. And on the note of weapons of mass discussion, my friends, I saw this. Hey, did you know that the U.S. did find weapons of mass destruction at last? Did you know that? Breaking news, buried in a field near Maryland. Hey, the good news for the Pentagon yesterday was that its investigators had finally unearthed evidence of weapons of mass destruction, including 100 vials of anthrax and other dangerous bacteria. The bad news was that the stash was found not in Iraq, but fewer than 50 miles from Washington near Fort Detrick in the Maryland countryside. The anthrax was a non-virulent strain, and the discoveries are apparently remnants of an abandoned germ warfare program. So, yeah, they found it, but it's right here in the good old U.S. of A. And Rumsfeld, also Donald Rumsfeld, defense secretary, saying that Iraq weapons of mass destruction may have been destroyed prior to the war. Shocking. I am absolutely shocked. Not. He asserted yesterday that we don't know what happened. What a joke. We don't know what happened. It is also possible that they decided they would destroy them prior to a conflict. And they, Saddam Hussein's government, always said that they were gone a long time ago. So Rumsfeld saying, yeah, well, maybe they did destroy them. So now, what do you have to say for yourself, Donald Rumsfeld, G.W. Bush, the Bush administration? You went in there and you destroyed not only people's lives, people's livelihoods, the country. And now I say, maybe.
With experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the internet, we cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it?
Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Okay, coming up in just a little bit, we'll have our guests. We'll also have our Jim Hightower Minute, America's favorite populist. And right now we have Peter in New Jersey who called in and said, hey, I'm not the Peter as in Peter Werbe. I'm Peter in New Jersey. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Julene. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Your previous caller mentioned something about the, I guess, the going after the oil in the Middle East and all that.
Right.
I think a lot of this is an implementation of what the hawks in the administration really want, which is, and they were handed the opportunity by 9/11 to be able to really pull off a right-wing, you know,
cool.
sort of agenda when it comes to foreign policy.
Yeah,
they're
definitely.
Looking to be not conservative in the way they apply foreign policy, but a very liberal approach in terms of, you know, application of U.S. military power and economic power worldwide. And I don't know if you've heard of the fellow, but a lot of these guys are adherents to Leo Strauss.
Oh, yes.
Philosophy. Are you familiar with him?
I am, vaguely.
But one of the points that Strauss makes, and he's got four main tenets, but one of them is the necessity of perpetual deception,
okay.
which is, you know, you tell them what you think they want to hear while you go off and do something else in your grand scheme of things.
Right.
So in terms
over and over and over again, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Iraq, I mean, I think Afghanistan was totally justified. But Iraq I had issues with. I don't think they were a threat to the U.S. Iran definitely is not in the sense that, by any immediate sense, we know that they fund terrorist organizations, things like that. But if they try and carbon copy Iraq over into Iran, I think that people just ought to just pour into the streets and pull down, you know, whatever, because it's just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, and I would even say I think we should be pouring into the streets every day now over, you know, still
oh, yeah.
over Iraq.
Definitely. And the funny thing is when Hillary Clinton made reference to the vast right-wing conspiracy,
oh,
I
yes.
laughed at it just like everybody else. But I swear to God, it's coming true, and it's really scary.
Yeah, and she was just talking about when they were talking about her husband doing, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's,
things.
It's a very, very, to me, it's a very disconcerting time to be living in the United States to know that a small cadre of extremists are in charge of foreign policy.
Right.
And
you got it.
The fact that they're willing to, you know, essentially foist onto the population any lie that they need to in order to have this giant, you know, monopoly on military power worldwide is really scary. And other countries are right to oppose us in some of the actions that we're taking.
Absolutely. And that includes France. And, you know, what do you do to speak out to people? Are you afraid to speak out other than programs like this?
No, actually, I'm probably one of those people who are disaffected in terms of politics. I was very interested in politics when I was younger. I became disenchanted as I got older.
Yeah.
In the last year or so, I've become much more interested, and I've been becoming active locally.
Good.
Not to the point where people think I'm a crackpot by any means, but certainly taking on local issues that people just are apathetic about, you know, overdevelopment, you know, things like that in a highly suburbanized area. You know, people, if they're comfortable economically, they're not motivated to get out of their comfort zone.
That's so true.
Trying to motivate people to understand that your comfort zone is going to shrink as your water gets worse. Things
right.
like that.
Life may look real good to you right now, but...
I'm sorry?
Life may look real good to a lot of people right now, even though to a lot of people I know, life ain't looking so good.
Well, I think when you look at on the long term, and I think, you know, it's probably easy for someone to say, oh, you're overreacting. But, you know, the Germans didn't overreact, and look what happened to them.
Here, here.
German population.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a number of other countries which tend to, you know, just take the government line as hook, line, and sinker as gospel. I really think it's the duty of every American to question what it is that they're telling us, whether the administration is Democratic or Republican.
Question everything, especially now.
Oh, my God, yes. Definitely.
All right, Peter. Thanks a lot for calling in today from New
Jersey. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
We appreciate it. And you can call, as Peter from New Jersey did, at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. I don't think I gave the email. I will read emails. In fact, I have some still stemming from yesterday's show. It's calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Please email. We'll read them over the air. If you don't want them read over the air, let me know that. And you can also call. Right, coming up next, actually, we will do Jim Hightower, and then we will talk to Ross Perzel, who is a political analyst out of Washington, D.C. Come on back.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
State workers struck a victory at the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. By a 6-3 margin, the high court ordered state governments must provide employees with time off work, as detailed in the Family and Medical Leave Act. The 1993 law gives workers the right to take up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave from work for family emergencies or for the birth or adoption of a child. And yesterday's decision affirms the right of 5 million state government employees to that time off, regardless of what other state laws apply to the issue of time off work.
As the quarantine of cattle farms in Canada expands to three provinces following the discovery of an animal with mad cow disease, attention has begun to turn to the quality control of Canada's food inspection system. And the picture is not pretty. For example, most Canadian meat inspectors don't work directly for the government. They're hired as contractors, and many often begin field work with as little as 4 weeks of training. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has abandoned internal audits to verify the quality of what inspections do get done. And turnover among beef inspectors is high. The yearly rate averages between 20% and 30%, and the wages of many inspectors have been frozen since 1993.
They were the heroes of September 11th, but New York City's firefighters are no longer the darlings of City Hall. New York is in its worst budget crisis in decades, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been slashing thousands of jobs, and among the cuts are six fire companies which closed their doors over the weekend. While no firefighters have lost their jobs yet, the firehouse closures mean that response time to some emergency calls will increase by a minute or more, something that the Uniformed Firefighters Association says could spell the difference between life and death in a business where seconds count.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Yeah, good to be here. And we have a show packed full of interesting topics. And we started out today talking about U.S. posturing against Iran. We're going to join our guest in just a few moments. First, let's do what we do every day at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on the Peter Werbe Show. It's Jim Hightower and the Jim Hightower Minute.
Remember when George W. was campaigning and claiming, "I'm a uniter, not a divider"? Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. In one stroke, Bush has managed to do the impossible: unite the American Conservative Union with the American Civil Liberties Union, as well as bringing other staunchly conservative groups together with avowedly liberal ones. Let's hear it for the great uniter. Unfortunately for George, what has united these disparate forces is their opposition to an absolutely atrocious piece of legislation that his administration had hoped to sneak by us. It's called Patriot Act II, a nasty follow-up to the liberty-busting, democracy-stifling USA Patriot Act, which John Mad Dog Ashcroft rammed through a panicked Congress just days after the horrendous September 11th terrorist attacks. Patriot II would give us Ashcroft on Viagra. Ugly. Among other uglies, this act would increase federal power to make secret arrests of U.S. citizens, let the government search your telephone, bank, and credit records without court supervision, and, for the first time, authorize the Attorney General to strip any American of their citizenship. All that the government has to do is to declare, by executive whim, that a case involves suspicions of terrorism, and bammo, there go your most basic rights. Patriot II is so ugly that the Bushites even lied to Congress that it exists. Trying to cover his ample butt, Ashcroft still asserts that it's not really a legislative proposal, but merely some ideas bouncing around his Justice Department. However, an internal document titled Domestic Security Enhancement Act of 2003 has surfaced, and it looks, reads, and smells exactly like a legislative proposal. This is Jim Hightower saying, I'd trust a wolf to guard my last pork chop before I'd trust the Bushites to guard my liberties. To guard against their Patriot Act II, call the American Civil Liberties Union, 212-549-2500.
Very good. Thank you. Another Jim Hightower Minute, and we'll do another one tomorrow. Always excellent words from Jim Hightower, which, by the way, Peter Werbe took over Jim Hightower's time slot when he left the radio world, and now he's back together with us on the IE America Radio Network, and we're proud to have him as a daily part of our show. Also, looking forward to right now with our guest, and we talk about Next Stop Tehran, and talking about Iran and posturing and this agenda building. And our guest is Ross Porzal, a Washington-based political analyst who is active with the Alliance for Progressive Iranians. And Ross, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you.
Yes, we're very happy to have you here because we're talking about what's going on that is quite frightening to me and to the listening audience, in that these verbal, onslaughts onto what's going on around the world and putting it right on Iran now. They're the target right now, and there has been no evidence that there have been any an attack mode against the United States with Iran, and you would agree with that.
Yes. You know, it's refreshing that for once the U.S. State Department and the professionals in the intelligence community are on the same side that I am. In other words, there is a deep rift in the Bush administration about this. Because the foreign policy of our country has been hijacked by the Pentagon, and I should actually specify the extreme right wing, neoconservative wing of the Pentagon. There is not agreement on policy to Iran, but it's moving further and further to the right, and it's starting to look like it's the Iraq scenario or circus all over again. They're saying the same things with regard to weapons of mass destruction and links to Al-Qaeda, which, by the way, were never proved in the case of Iraq. We have not found any of those weapons. So I, in a way, I admire the nerve of the folks who are running this circus in repeating the claims once more.
And for someone who is active in a group called the Alliance of Progressive Iranians, a lot of people don't really believe that there are progressive Iranians out there.
Well, yes, that is true. That in the public opinion here, it's been assumed for the past quarter of century since the hostage crisis in Iran that Iranians are a monolithic a group when it comes at least to their position towards the United States, but that is quite false. In fact, opinions have diverged quite a bit, both among Iranians in the country and in diaspora. But I don't really, how should I say, I mean, Americans are not dumb. It's just that, no disrespect to you, but the media are not really keeping the public informed. A good example of it is that over the past year, the words Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein were repeated so many times in the same sentence that opinion polls show that 50% of Americans actually believe that Saddam Hussein was behind the attacks of September 11, even though our own government never really claimed that, but
oh,
it was just repeated so much. So, yeah, they can probably make this hang this on Iran easily, too.
Right, and I'm baffled by that connection and the fact that so many people believe, probably still to this day, yes, that there was a connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. And
not
now,
that I'm sorry, but not to claim that I have any sympathy for Saddam Hussein or, for that matter, for the government of Iran, which has a bad human rights record domestically. But when it comes to foreign policy, I think it's a different story.
So what do you think? What do you think the real story is now? What are we after? Are we after just domination of the region and oil?
Yes. And
I don't want to put we into that. I mean the Bush administration, the regime.
Yes. Yes. Basically, we are pushing the interests of Israel in the region and of American corporations. Oil companies and weapons manufacturers, and this is not good for America either. I mean, I want to stress that I don't say this as someone who's sympathetic to the people of Iran only, but also I have spent most of my life in the United States, and I'm raising kids here, and I'm very concerned about my own safety and my family's. And these policies, these policies waste hundreds of millions of dollars a year. That goes towards militarism and weapons manufacturers. That's our money. But also, these policies are making us less safe in this country. I am genuinely concerned about that.
Well, yeah, and also about the fact that you're originally from Iran, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when I see stories, as I have been reading about this Muslim woman who was forced to remove her face veil for a driver's license picture and hence won't do it because of her religion, and they suspended her driver's license. Think about the people who have been detained without any counsel. Are you concerned about that?
I absolutely am. I feel that I'm in jeopardy, in fact, for speaking up. But, you know, we are supposed to have a democracy here, and to some extent we do. I mean, if you are solidly middle class or, for that, the upper class in this country, you do have democracy and freedom. But any group, in this case an ethnic group, the Muslims and Arabs, can be targeted very easily. It's not without precedent in this country. I think that before we go exporting democracy to the Middle East, which, by the way, I think is another sham, because all sorts of Middle East specialists in Europe and here have said, the majority say, that if truly elections are held in most Middle Eastern countries, that the Islamist groups will win. And the United States government is, of course, not going to tolerate that. They have already said that about Iraq. So before we go trying to tell people how to practice self-determination and freedom and democracy, I think we should make sure that we treat our own people right here in this country. I mean, we have 2 million people in jail here, which per capita rivals China and Russia, one of the highest in the world. I mean, let's pay attention to what this administration is doing to civil rights and the freedom of people in this country.
Absolutely. What about people from other countries? Maybe people in your family or people from a Muslim country or Arab country. Why would they want to come over here to the United States now? You know, with all of this going on.
Well, many have decided against coming, and many who were here on student or work visas have already left, and that includes Pakistanis too.
And people you know, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. In fact, members of my own family who were arranging to come here to go to school a couple of years ago, I have counseled them not to do so at all. Of course, they are fed a lot of, how should I say, deliberate and in some cases not deliberate propaganda or rosy pictures of what it's like to be 20-something in the United States, how it's all fun and games, and you can have the latest model cars and whatnot. But, you know, I mean, they see only part of the picture. I mean, that is true for some people here. But there is a radio station now that's 24-hour satellite station that's beamed to Iran, and soon a TV is going to start, too, under Voice of America, that paint a very rosy picture of this country. It's not so much because they want Iranians to be lured to the United States, but it's because they want to convince people over there, especially the young who are impressionable, that, hey, if you overthrow your government, this is the kind of beautiful life that you are going to have. So, I mean, it's misleading. It's an incomplete picture. I mean, I enjoy my life and freedom in the United States, but there are a lot of people here who don't. I try to present both sides of the picture when I have contact with people who live in Iran. And they are surprised to hear the other side.
The other side. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. What about the U.S. now saying, you know, concerned about the nukes, that Iran says that they're using it for nuclear energy and power?
I want to start by saying that that was in Iran when that program started. That was more than 30 years ago under the old regime that was solidly backed by the United States and armed and supported.
Yeah, back when we loved them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like this program is new. This is not being talked about. It's not like this program is new and it's meant as a hostile kind of posture toward the world. I believe that it's true that Iran doesn't need nuclear power because it's got so much oil and gas. And I'm not going to deny, I think very few people know enough to say one way or another, whether Iran has nuclear ambitions in terms of weapons making. However, it has been pointed out by many opinion makers and leaders throughout the world, journalists and whatnot, including, by the way, in Israel and in India, both of which are not that friendly to the Muslim world, that America's aggressive foreign policy in the past decade since the fall of the Soviet Union actually encourages other countries for the purpose of having a deterrent, for the purpose of defending themselves, to develop nuclear weapons. The most surprising thing in Iran today is that if there is a single issue on which the so-called hardliners, the Ayatollahs who are unelected and who run the country and whose posture is anti-American, and the so-called reformers who are more so-called moderates, the one thing that they agree about and unites them is that, yes, Iran, in fact, has the right, is entitled to have nuclear weapons if Israel has it and if other countries have it, and that it should develop them. This is really astounding because the country feels threatened, as does most of the Muslim world.
Yeah, and the Bush administration, the Bush regime just keeps just, you know, putting their claws out at everyone and saying, hey, you can't have this, you can't. We are the rulers of the world. And it's just such a horrible message to send around.
And it's not only in foreign policy. I feel, and probably you do, that in domestic policy as well, over the past 2 years, the Bush administration has demonstrated more and more of a license to take away people's rights, to tell us that they want to protect our freedom by taking away our freedoms, and also giving more of a leeway and allying themselves with the Christian right, the extremists, and the neoconservatives. So it's all kind of consistent. It's not, I mean, they treat people everywhere the same. And that should tell Americans something, whether they should believe what comes out of the White House with regard to Iran. I mean, if you want to know how much credibility to give to what the White House says, I think really you should just pay attention to what they're doing domestically. That tells the story, I think.
Yeah. It's pretty much all out there for everyone to see, and if they don't connect the dots for themselves, it's their own fault. I feel a need to try to, you know, enlighten these folks for sure, but can't get to everyone. Where can we find your writings, Ross Perzal, or your website for your organization?
I actually, all my writing is in Farsi, unfortunately. It's not, I am so focused on trying to stay to the Iranian community in diaspora, that, about these things. And you mentioned earlier that, that there's not much awareness out there, that there is quite a bit of, variety of opinion among Iranians. So I have taken on the role of trying to bring these things to the attention of the Iranian public in exile.
All right.
That's why I devote all of my time to writing in Farsi.
Well, it sounds
media,
like it needs to be done.
If you like, I can throw
hold on real quick. We'll be right back on the Peter Werby Show. I'm Julian Jordan with Ross Perzal.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed. It's
all in there. Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby.
Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover is Dr. Dre style.
Rolling through the
street just doing my thing. I need a Twix to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all. Brunch to a Twix.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
Doug Stephan's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
And that is me. I believe we lost our guest. Is that right, Steve? Okay, good. He's talking in my ear, just in case you wonder if he's a ghost. We have a couple of emails that we'll read. Let's see. First of all, from Adam in Orlando, Florida. If we invaded Iraq to liberate its people from an Iraqi dictator guilty of war crimes, why don't we invade Israel to free the Palestinian people from an Israeli dictator guilty of war crimes? Or perhaps we could invade China to liberate Tibet. Why do we ignore selected genocide? It's an excellent point, Adam, and I'll throw that out to the listeners. You can call in at 1-800-TALK-YES, or you can write in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. It's calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Another email from Mark, who writes in about this very topic in Huntsville, Alabama. Sure, we are looking at Iran because of their oil. That is probably part of the reason. However, I think the main reason the administration is considering war with Iran is because Bush's poll numbers are down. Good point, Mark. Last week's big news was that his reelection numbers had slipped just below the 50% mark. Remember, last time they started touting a war as a solution to all our problems was about the time Bush's poll numbers were finally reaching pre-9/11 levels. It took a little over a year for Bush and the other chicken hawks in the administration to send troops into Iraq. If it takes approximately the same amount of time, we would be sending troops into Iran, oh, let's see here, somewhere around November of next year. Huh. This would encourage the rally around the flag effect just in time for the elections. Painfully obvious, writes Mark in Huntsville, Alabama. Isn't it amazing how so much of it is painfully obvious and painfully frightening at the same time? We hear Denis Kucinich saying many similar things, saying that it's disturbing that we were misled in that build up to the war in Iraq. It was an illegal invasion. Denis Kucinich, come on, you're our man. Come out and tell us what it really was. And that this administration is seeking to continue this dangerous policy in the region, and now this aggressive posture toward Iran. We're going to talk a little bit coming up in the next hour about Amnesty International and their latest report, talking about what they believe the war on terror has done to the world. Has it made it safer for us? Has it made it more dangerous? We'll talk about that. A whole nother hour coming up, and a wonderful story about a woman in Virginia who created an organization to develop a community that so badly needed it. And things that it looks like we may have to be taking an example of in this time of overspending, of deficits, and taking away from the domestic issues that our people here in the United States so desperately need those resources from. Coming back, another hour. I'm Julian Jordan in for Peter Werby today. Thanks for being here, everyone.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. A man suspected of killing five women has waived extradition from Georgia to Louisiana. Ed Piglia, who is the brother of victim Pam Kinnamore, says he would like to see Derek Todd Lee punished harshly.
And I think a long, multiple life sentences in prison and suffer the violence of prison life every day. That's what I'd like to see him get. Let him suffer every day like his victims did, slowly.
Lee was taken into custody yesterday without incident in Atlanta. He is suspected of at least five murders in Louisiana and has been charged in one of them. Officials said a tip from the FBI led police to Lee. The 34-year-old suspect appeared subdued in the Atlanta courtroom, where he said he would not fight extradition. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says weapons of mass destruction have not turned up in Iraq because much of the weaponry was hidden before the U.S. invaded the country. Reporter Scott Salato has more.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says Iraq may have destroyed or buried its weapons of mass destruction before the war. That's why they haven't found anything yet.
We do know that they bury things. They bury things all over the country. They've buried airplanes. They've buried tanks. They've buried weapons.
He says coalition troops need time to find the weapons stash.
It's a country the size of California. It is not as though we've managed to look every place. There are hundreds and hundreds of suspect chemical or biological or nuclear sites that have not been investigated as yet.
Scott Salato, New York.
Amnesty International accuses the United States of choosing to liberate the people of Iraq at the expense of millions of others around the world. William Schultz is executive director.
The smoke of the battlefields of Iraq and the war against terrorism have unfortunately obscured human rights violations elsewhere in the world.
In its annual report, Amnesty says human rights are being threatened, international laws are being undermined, and governments are being shielded from scrutiny. More news in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-D-I-A-B-E-T-E-S. Don't be blind to diabetes.
American Express, Fannie Mae, and IBM are the best companies for minority women to work for. Working Mother magazine rated companies based on the number of minority women who are executives and how many have been hired in the last year. The survey also found that women of color get paid less and are less likely to hold management positions. Orders for durable goods are down 2.4%. The Commerce Department says weak demand for cars and military aircraft are to blame. More after this.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Hundreds of Canadians are in quarantine following a cluster of new SARS cases in Toronto. There are calls now for a broader-based health monitoring and protection agency. There are 9 probable and 23 suspected cases. The company that manufactures the Taser stun gun is under fire from PETA.
PETA says Taser International is unethically testing its product on animals, but company officials say they were working on technology to save animals' lives. PETA officials say they have an undercover tape showing employees using the stun gun on a bull. Taser CEO Rick Smith says they are working on an animal taser to be used by park rangers who have trouble with bear control and in Florida where alligators are a problem for animal control officers. Gianna Suter, Phoenix.
The National Spelling Bee is underway in Washington, D.C. The 251 contestants range in age from 8 to 15 years old. The final round of the two-day event to be broadcast live tomorrow on ESPN. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with Julian Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julian Jordan.
Thank you very much. Welcome to another hour of the program. And last hour, spent a good majority of it talking about U.S. posturing against Iran. Are they next? Are they the next target? And we had a guest, Ross Prezal, who is a political analyst. And I got an email that I thought I'd start out the hour with, and then I have a couple of calls holding on the line. If you want to call in about anything, because I'm ready to switch topics, I'm ready to stick topics, whatever you want to do, 1-800-TALK-YES. You know, we like to kind of move around a little bit here and include you with whatever you think is most important to you today. This is from Ashkan, who says, hello, as an Iranian, I am pained that you say Americans think Iranians are all of one mind. And I did not mean to say it in that way. If you took it that way, let me explain in a minute. He says, I hope it's not true. Surely not for the Americans living in L.A. Iranians are not proud that our country is the last absolute theocracy on earth. But 30 years under a puppet monarch dictator were not any more inspiring. It is pretty sad that the height of the civilization was 25 years ago, I suppose. This is what Ashkan says. But the important thing to point out is that the Iranian government right now, despite its many faults, is the one calling for mutual respect and dialogue between civilizations. Our media is not telling us this, while our government prefers to talk of terror and evil. I completely agree with you, Ashkan. Rather than saying Iranians are monolithic, please consider a story and interview with Iranian Reza Balukhti. And so I will definitely look into that. And I don't think that Iranians are monolithic by any means, because I was basically kind of doing the devil's advocate thing more than anything. I agree with you. And I agree 100% that, hey, is it not nuts? The United States, oh, yes, we're just so civil over here. Yet it's this country that's considered, you know, and as you said, the absolute last theocracy here on earth, that's saying, hey, let's have some mutual respect here. Let's have some dialogue between civilizations. Isn't that nuts? We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-TALK-YES. And Charles from Georgia has been hanging on the line for a while. So, Charles, chime on in here. And thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. And I am listening to you over the internet here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I find your talk show to be a refreshing change from what we have in Georgia. And thank you very much. And
absolutely.
Yes. And, yeah. And I just want to see what you think. I know you've been talking about Kucinich as a possible presidential candidate for the Democrats.
Yes, Dennis Kucinich.
Yes, I've listened to him a couple of times, but I also like to hear what you have to say about the former Vermont governor, Howard Dean. I have been following him for quite a while, and I think that between him and Kucinich, that we have a hope here, because one point that he raises is that if we Democrats are going to sound like, well, I'm not a registered Democrat, but I have the sympathy for Democratic Party. But if we are going to take recover this country from the right-wing conservatives that are running it right now,
yeah,
we cannot afford to be talking like them. And some of the Democrats in politics, 70% of the times, are agreeing with these people. So who is going to vote for a Democrat who is 70% agreeing with the Republicans? Might as well just vote for a pure Republican.
Yeah, they're pretty, and I'll take it down to a real basic level here, Charles. They're pretty wimpy.
Yeah.
In the scheme of things.
Oh, yeah. You know, during the last November elections, it was so sad. I was listening to the Democratic candidates talking, oh, I voted for the president to do this. And yet, the president would come down here and campaign against them. And then they lost. Of course, they lost.
Yeah.
Because the people here in Georgia, if the Democrat is, if you're sounding like the president, then the president says, well, okay, you know, I don't want you, I'm supporting your opponent, then of course the people are going to vote for the opponent. So we saw the results in November of last year.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And I saw something today. I don't know if you saw this, Charles, that the Greens, hey, Greens out there, this will perk you all up, but the Greens are considering standing behind the Democrats in 2004.
Really?
Yes, I saw this, and it says the lesser of two evils doesn't seem like such a bad choice these days to some Greens. And I really want people to call in or write to calltalkyes@yahoo.com because this is an ongoing discussion here.
Yeah.
You know, should we all be one? And, of course, I think we could be a stronger force that way.
Yes, that would be quite interesting because my fear was actually the opposite. I thought that a lot of people that are neutral out of frustration for not being able to figure out what the Democrats are doing might actually decide to go cast a vote for the Greens.
Yeah, right. I'll go more into this. So thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, and you have a good day.
Charles, you too, and call again, okay?
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And this is what it is, okay? I don't want to just leave you hanging. For those of you who haven't seen this from the Washington Post, this is a quote from John Strawn, co-chairman of the group's Presidential Exploratory Committee, the Green Party. He says, at the moment, everything is on the table, and everything is being discussed, I should say. As the Green Party hashes out its plan for next year's presidential election, some of its activists are urging the party to forego the race and instead throw its support behind one of the Democratic candidates, all in the hopes of unseating G.W. Bush. What do you think? If Greens and non-Greens alike, do you think this is a good idea? This Presidential Exploratory Committee began the process of finding a candidate months ago, soliciting recommendations from its state party representatives across the country, compiled, picked over that list, contacting about 40 people that they believed would make might make suitable candidates, rather, that would help build the party while upholding its leftist commitments to nonviolence, anti-corporatism, and diversity. And now, so far, the party has Green Party has declined to identify who is on their list. Officials confirmed media reports they have been conferring with two-time candidate Ralph Nader, former Representative Cynthia McKinney of Georgia, Charles, and party consul David Cobb and New York activist Paul Glover. All are considering running. That the Green Party is also considering not running a candidate would probably surprise some. I would think so. Nader brought the party to new heights during the 2000 election, according to this article, winning nearly 3 million votes. And what do you think? Let's go to Matthew in Louisiana and see what he has to say.
Hi, Matthew. I'm having a conversation with some of my Green friends and stuff like that.
Good.
I wondered if I could get your opinion on something.
Okay.
And that is, I don't really know how you run a Green candidate. I mean, what I'm asking is, Ralph Nader, I like him and everything like that. I still respect him. I voted for him, but he should have endorsed Gore, and he didn't because he thought maybe he'd get 5% of the vote, get the matching funds, and we'd have a better shot the next time.
Right.
Well, my question is, how do you support, how do you run the Green and support the Green, but at some time, they endorse the other party, and then you support the Democrat that it might have a chance.
So how do you, how do you run it and then support a Democrat, is what you're saying?
I think I'm asking, how do you campaign for both parties?
That's a really good question. What are your Green friends saying?
Well, a lot of them are very adamant about the fact that they don't want to support a Democrat, no matter what, you know.
Because they are so closely knit and together with the Republicans. I agree with that. But what about really coming together? Is the alternative another 4 years of G.W. Bush?
Right.
I'm concerned about that.
I am too.
I don't know if I can take it.
No, I don't think we can. I think we got to get him out of office. I mean, he's a nice guy and everything, but the gloves are off, baby.
I don't think he's a nice guy at all, personally.
Okay, I just wanted to get your opinion.
You're being so nice.
Okay.
You're being too nice. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that. And I would take more calls on this. Do you think G.W. Bush is a nice guy? That's another question. I don't think he's nice at all. I think he's a very selfish human being, and I think that what he has done since he came into office is absolutely evil to the people of the United States, to the people of Iraq, to the civilians in Afghanistan, to the people of Afghanistan who are still in Guantanamo. I mean, we could go on and on and on about this, but I think it's pretty good for us to discuss it on this show because it's something that from the very beginning, after what happened with G.W. Bush being selected by the Supreme Court and put into the residency of the United States, we've been talking about this on this show. Is there a viable candidate for the Democrats? Is there a viable candidate for the Greens? Should we all come together? Let's go to Gary in Santa Fe and see what he thinks. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Jalene. Yeah, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I think one thing we could say is that the Greens, in a sense, kind of got what they wanted in the last election, last presidential election, in that they could really be a major force now if they were to throw their weight behind, say, Dennis Kucinich,
right,
the most liberal candidate that's looking for the nomination. And I think they could really, that big a percentage of the vote just might cinch it for the Democrats, and particularly if Kucinich would agree to, for sure, get some high-level cabinet nominations to the Greens.
Are you, would you mind just saying, are you affiliated with the Green Party? Or?
Not really. No, I thought about voting for Nader last time because I was, I really respect the man, but when I saw how close it was, I just thought that I didn't want the lesser of two evils, or I did want the lesser of two evils, and now we've seen just how evil the supposedly greater percentage it was. So.
Can be, right?
Yeah,
or is being.
Bad.
Is currently, right. Okay, well, Gary, another good thought on that. Calling
yeah, I really Day. Hope that the Greens will consider doing that.
Yeah, I was actually pretty happy to see that.
Yep.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate
that. Okay, well, thank
that.
You.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great day. Gary calling in from Santa Fe. And let's see, more on this about Kucinich. Says here, of course, Representative Dennis J. Kucinich of Ohio, one of the most liberal Democratic candidates, appears to have gained the most traction among the Greens. Greens, is that true? Is he attractive to you? He is also considered one of his party's longest long shots. And we've said that here. I don't know. Can he make it happen? And it is also uncertain whether the Green Party would pass on its own presidential race to support someone. Okay, we've already said that. If you want to find this, you can find it from yesterday's Washington Post. You can also find this on the Common Dreams News Center website. It's commondreams.org, breaking news and views for the progressive community. And that is where I got that. More emails to read when we come back. Also, our guest coming up in just about 10 minutes is Ruth Wise, who is executive director of the New Road Community Development Group of Exmoor, Inc., and that is in Exmoor, Virginia. This is very interesting, talking about what we can do right here at home to build our own communities, because right now, all of these federal funds being taken away and put in this effort against terrorism and efforts of, establishing democracy around the world. Her name's Ruth Wise, and I'll tell you a little bit more also coming up next about her. She's an amazing woman.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem.
If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Talking a bit about the Greens and the Dems, and should the Greens and the Dems get together? A comment from a listener says, if the Greens approached the DNC and said, so long as Kucinich is your nominee, we won't run a candidate. Oh, the glory of pressure. That would perhaps change the focus where they are basically ignoring Dennis to one where maybe they would give him a little more limelight. And then end it with, well, yes, otherwise we're running Nader again. Do you agree with that? Other Greens around the country. Coming up in just a few minutes, a special guest, Ruth Wise, who is instrumental in creating a better life for a community in Exmoor, Virginia. It's the New Road neighborhood, and this is where, until recently, 85% of approximately the 300 African-American residents had no indoor plumbing. This is in our own country here. Residents collected water from outdoor spigots and used outdoor pit privies. Poor soil conditions and a high water table prohibited the installation of individual septic systems. And in the early 1990s, this district commission had proposed a regional sewage treatment facility for the town of Exmoor. Nonetheless, the plan was rejected after it was opposed by a group of the town's residents, all who had their own private septic systems. Not easy to say. Ruth Wise has lived in this area since she was 3 years old. She moved there with her grandparents And in those days, she said that this new road area was a place where many low-wealth, working-class people came to build humble abodes to try to stake their share in the American dream. There was a real sense of pride of ownership of property there. New Road, it was poor, but it was a place where the youth had dreams for a brighter future, she says, where children could draw their circles wider and see themselves as worthy human beings. And she was the first person in her family to attend college. She spent time away, then she came home, and she made a huge difference. When she came home, the neighborhood had eroded, and a lot of people had no more hope, and they had assigned New Road a new name. They called it Skagtown, and this angered her, and she was angered by the fact that somehow that the neighborhood considered the people were of New Road somehow lesser human beings, and she vowed to improve their living conditions, and she did. What this woman has done is absolutely amazing. She has made a difference in the lives of these residents of the New Road neighborhood in Exmoor, Virginia. She has single-handedly changed the entire landscape of this community. And this is something that I just absolutely just honed in on and saw and said, I have got to have this woman on the air. I absolutely have to have this woman on the air. And I'm looking forward to doing that in just a couple of minutes. Right now, I want to quickly talk about the Amnesty International report that came out. And I'm going to talk probably in depth about it next hour. This is the annual report that's on global human rights abuses for 2002. It's a London-based watchdog. And it made one of its fiercest attacks yet on the policies pursued by the United States and Britain in response to the attacks of September 11th. If the war on terror was supposed to make the world safer, it has failed, says Amnesty International. It has given governments an excuse to abuse human rights in the name of state security. Mm-hmm, we know. And Amnesty Secretary General Irene Khan told a news conference today, what would have been unacceptable on September 10th, 2001 is now becoming almost the norm. And this is what she calls it. I thought this really made a lot of sense. It's a new doctrine of human rights a la carte. Is that not true? The United States continues to pick and choose which bits of its obligations under international law it will use and when it will use them. And she highlights what I was just talking about earlier with Charles from Georgia, highlighting the detention without charge or trial of hundreds of prisoners in Afghanistan and in a U.S. military camp in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. By putting these detainees into a legal black hole, this is what is being done, the U.S. administration appeared to continue to support a world where arbitrary, unchallengeable detention becomes acceptable. And it should not be acceptable. This is not acceptable. Amnesty is urging the world to do more to sort out Iraq's problems now that the war is over. Okay, coming on back with our guest, Ruth Wise. Looking forward to this. And we'll take your phone calls a little later. Your email's always welcome. calltalkyes@yahoo.com.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
State workers struck a victory at the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. By a 6-3 margin, the high court ordered state governments must provide employees with time off work, as detailed in the Family and Medical Leave Act. The 1993 law gives workers the right to take up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave from work for family emergencies or for the birth or adoption of a child. And yesterday's decision affirms the right of 5 million state government employees to that time off, regardless of what other state laws apply to the issue of time off work.
As the quarantine of cattle farms in Canada expands to three provinces following the discovery of an animal with mad cow disease, attention has begun to turn to the quality control of Canada's food inspection system. And the picture is not pretty. For example, most Canadian meat inspectors don't work directly for the government. They're hired as contractors, and many often begin field work with as little as 4 weeks of training. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has abandoned internal audits to verify the quality of what inspections do get done. And turnover among beef inspectors is high. The yearly rate averages between 20 and 30%, and the wages of many inspectors have been frozen since 1993.
They were the heroes of September 11th, but New York City's firefighters are no longer the darlings of City Hall. New York is in its worst budget crisis in decades, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been slashing thousands of jobs, and among the cuts are six fire companies which closed their doors over the weekend. While no firefighters have lost their jobs yet, the firehouse closures mean that response time to some emergency calls will increase by a minute or more, something that the Uniformed Firefighters Association says could spell the difference between life and death in a business where seconds count.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Thank you very much. And our guest right now is Ruth Wise, Executive Director of the New Road Community Development Group of Exmoor, Inc., and that's Exmoor, Virginia. Ruth Wise, thank you so much for being here to tell us your story.
Thank you.
Yes. Absolutely. We want to talk about kind of the origins. I gave a little bit of background about Exmoor and about the New Road neighborhood, but give us your take on it. Beck, you have lived there for a long time, right?
I grew up on New Road.
Yeah. You grew up there, and this, as I said before, that until a couple of years ago, 85 of the approximately 300 African-American residents there, right?
That's right.
And what have you done to make the difference?
Well, I wouldn't say me. I would say a members of the community. Back in 1992, when we learned that there was a discussion going on at the town council level about bringing possibly bringing a sewer system to the New Road area, it was not being done particularly for New Road. It was being done to bring another complex near New Road, but the U.S. Department of Agriculture said it had to be attached to a blighted community. Residents of the New Road community band together in order to fight for a sewer system to address the situation in the New Road community.
And when you left and went to college and you came back, and tell us what you came home to.
Well, I left and I didn't come directly back from college. I left and went off to college. And I came back home like 23 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back to the same thing I'd left.
Yeah.
Most of the people still had outdoor privies. There was town water, but it didn't run into the house because you had no disposal system. So people had to go outside to what was the spigot, which was sort of not much different than the pump they used to use.
Yeah.
To get their water for use in their home. So things had not changed.
And you were angered, highly angered by this, weren't you?
Well, yeah. I guess at first I was a little asleep like everybody else, thinking that things would never change or didn't see how they could change. And then when the opportunity presented itself, I think that people in the community saw that here is an opportunity and we'd better seize it right now, or else we're going to find ourselves 25 years from now, 50 years from now, in the same condition.
Yes, and when I was reading your story and your background and the story of the New Road area, I thought to myself, this is the richest country in the world.
Exactly. And
what's
going
on here?
And we're only 4 hours from Washington, D.C., the country's capital. But, I mean, that doesn't surprise us. I mean, look how long it took folks in Washington, D.C. to realize that there were homeless people. I remember going there some years ago when our leaders in Washington were saying there is no homelessness in America, and I looked out under the bridge, and there were people right down from the Capitol. So certainly they wouldn't know anything about us 4 hours away if they didn't know what was right outside the Capitol.
A good point. And when did things change? You got some help, right, to make this happen?
Yeah. Well, basically, we had to make a little noise to make this very visible to the region.
Yeah.
That here was still a community on the Eastern Shore. But we're not the only community. Let's make that clear, too.
Okay.
We're not the only community. We are the ones who managed to speak out first, and others learned from us. That here we were in 1992 America, and people were still living in third world conditions. And one of the things we did is that we put on a very active campaign with the news media, contacting the local TV stations, the newspapers, and anybody else who would come and talk to us, state officials and what have you, to see just what the conditions were.
And the good news is you weren't ignored by the media.
No, we weren't. I think people, it was kind of strange because folks assumed that these kinds of things don't exist. I don't know why. As I travel around the country, you see all kinds of pockets of poverty.
Yes.
But maybe nobody does anything to bring them into focus or to highlight them so that they can be seen.
Right, except for perhaps the organizations, non-governmental organizations, and homeless organizations that's all they do.
Right.
Yeah. And so what is the state of things now? Things are pretty good there.
Well, things are improving.
Yeah.
We've come a long ways, but we still have a long ways to go. As a result of our struggle for a sewer system and going around with the town and what have you, we were able to, the town did apply for the community development block grant to bring us the sewer system. That, however, that would not start. The construction would not start until 1998, and actually the sewer system was completed in January of 2000.
Oh,
and at this point, we have 28 renovated or new homes that are attached to the sewer system.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we've created home ownership opportunities for approximately 16 residents who were, prior to that, renters. I should tell you that one of the other things that we did is that the community was largely owned by two absentee landlords.
Okay.
And we were able, through a community organizer, to learn about an organization that worked with communities to help strengthen communities. And that organization worked with us in order to buy those two landlords out.
Oh, that's great.
So that New Road became the owner of the property.
Okay.
And that way we could work to help transform that into a neighborhood of largely homeowners.
And not only, I'm sure, are the people happy to have indoor plumbing, but I would say that the self-esteem of everyone there has probably gone up a few notches.
I would think so.
And that was something that you didn't see so much when you came back after 20-some years.
No, in fact, you know, when I grew up here, even though the neighborhood was really quite poor, we were all quite poor, but most of the people did own their meager little abodes.
Mm-hmm.
They were not in the greatest shape, but there was quite a bit of pride in the neighborhood because folks did own their homes, even as humble as they may have been. And so there was some pride in the community. By the time I came back home and realized, and somehow or another, much of the property had gone into, had ended up in as rentals, people, didn't seem to have as much pride in the community.
Right.
One of the things I remember growing up here was how pretty the community was in the spring when everybody had their flowers planted and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You saw very little trash and what have you in the community. And one of the things that hit me when I came back was the amount of trash that was in the community. A few people did gardening and that kind of thing, but not the same level of pride that existed in the community as that was here when I was a kid growing up.
And now, they like you said, they're a lot owning their own homes and a lot more pride taken. You probably more flowers and less trash today.
Right. Well, we've done a lot of work on moving out the trash,
mm-hmm.
and we do a lot of work with encouraging families, you know, to beautify their yards and to do those kinds of things.
Now, when I was reading part of your bio, I read this part. Over the course of the community struggles, she quickly gained a reputation for her outspokenness and willingness to dismiss conventional wisdom and practices. And that's when I said, I need to know this woman. 'Cause that describes me, but you've taken it, I think, a step further. I do it more in the radio sense and getting the word out. You are there doing the actual work. You do this, I imagine you work many hours a day.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's not a 9-to-5, and it's not a Monday through Friday. It's whenever the work has to get done, and it's whatever has to get done when it has to get done. So it might be Saturday you work, or it might be Sunday sometime, and what have you. But basically, on that conventional wisdom stuff, a great deal of times what is held today as conventional wisdom may or may not be true. For instance, the idea that poor people couldn't own homes did not ring well with me at all, because when I grew up here, most of the people owned their own homes.
Yeah.
So to me, that didn't make a great deal of sense. And I said, well, that's not necessarily true. That conventional wisdom is off. And it doesn't mean that their homes are, pardon me, mansions by any stretch of the imagination, but they're nice, small, well-built homes.
And they're their homes.
And they're their homes.
Now, you have children, right?
Yes.
Do they live there as well?
I have I have two kids here. One of them just came back. But I have a one daughter who lives in Alabama, really, and another son who lives in New York.
Are they as well community activists?
Well, my daughter is a community activist. Actually, she works for an organization called the Southern Organizing Cooperative out of, I think it's home-based out of Tennessee,
okay.
But she actually lives in Alabama.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And she actually began working with the New Road Project. She was the community organizer that worked for another organization at the time who learned about the discussions going on in the town. And she came around and knocked on people's doors and said, if you folks want indoor toilets, I suggest you be out to town meeting on Tuesday. And that's how it all got started.
Good for her. You taught her well, Ruth-wise. And you're talking about other communities now who have taken what you've done and your community, what your community has done as an example. Can you give us an example of what's happened around you?
Yeah. I don't know how many people might have paid attention, but there's the Bayview community that is actually about 20 miles below us that has actually gotten a lot more publicity than we've gotten, but because of the fact that a few years ago they landed on the front of the Washington Post when a lady from the national office of the NAACP went to that community and called it Suedo.
Wow.
That's another interesting story.
That is.
So they have gotten a lot of more publicity and certainly national publicity than we have gotten. But we were the first community to actually get out there and band together and start to fight for our own community, and develop an organization to drive our efforts.
And I'm sure, although you wish you would have had more of that national attention to what you were doing, you're probably very happy that they're getting it there.
Oh, yes. We're very happy to any time a community gets the recognition, and we're in this country, we're very happy any time another community begins to move. In fact, we've had other communities to approach us about helping them, to start to work on their own communities. And wherever you see this kind of these kinds of conditions, you want to see it change.
Yes, yes. And not only has it been housing that has changed there, economic uplift and community development. Tell us what else you're developing there, kind of a town square?
Yeah, well, a little more than that. When we started with our organization and we started visualizing what we wanted to do, we decided we wanted to do total community revitalization. That is, the housing development, economic development, and community development. So the economic development, we're looking for the kinds of, we set aside 7 small lots in order to develop businesses. Some for New Road itself to earn money, because we understand that foundations and what have you wear out after a while. So some to generate income for the organization, for the community organization, but also businesses that would create entrepreneurships with 4 people in the community to supplement income or to become the income. We're looking at how to start a community development credit union to make people bankable so they can join mainstream banking. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at. Right now we have something called a niche market in which we're testing products that may sell, and we try to buy things that folks don't normally get on here on the Eastern Shore, and to see if we can develop what we call a cart mall. And that's where people can will be able to come and rent a cart in a building at a reasonable price. And if they have, whether they grow flowers or make whatnots or whatever they do, they have a space to be able to sell their products.
Oh, that's one, kind of like a farmer's market, but in a...
The kind of, only we're not just dealing in things like produce.
And things,
you know, it could be if ladies make pillows.
Yes.
That kind of thing, and that are saleable. Or we have a lady in the community who makes beautiful wreaths for doors and things of that nature. And if she wanted to rent space to have... to be able to sell those kinds of things, she could be able to do that.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And the response, I'm sure, people are just excited because this also gives them an opportunity to make a little money for themselves, an income.
Exactly. We also have, the common spaces in the community. For instance, we have an old schoolhouse that we know dates back to 1918. It's the old two-room schoolhouse that we often hear talk of.
Oh.
It's where I started school.
Really?
And we hope to get historic preservation monies to turn that into a museum library.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We have an acre square, which will be a park where we already have certain community activities where the community can gather and we can have various community activities to bring the community together.
So pretty close-knit community.
It's a pretty close-knit community. We're generational. It's, one of the things we thought was really weird, folks, we're right on the main thoroughfare on 13 on Virginia's Eastern Shore.
Okay.
And people would come by and look at some of the houses and say things like they thought it was migrant workers. Well, we've been here almost 100 years, and there are 5 and 6 generations of people who live in the community.
Oh, yes.
So we're not transitory at all.
Yet I would imagine people aren't calling it Skagtown anymore.
No, it's not. That's one of the things we decided early on to get rid of.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, there was an area called Dog Patch. And everyone has these areas, the flats and all of this. And for the people who live there, that has to be just one more hit for them.
Oh, it is. And... we grew up with it being called New Road, and somehow it took on the name Skagtown. And my son tells me now how when they were in school, that's my oldest son, the one that lives in New York,
mm-hmm.
how they used to sometimes have to, well, I guess they acted out a little bit when the word Skagtown was used, but he said it was really a cover because it didn't make them feel very good.
Yeah, they were masking their hurt.
Their hurt. Right.
Absolutely. No, that makes me sad. And I really want to tell you, Ruth Wise, our time is almost coming to an end, how much I appreciate your time here and telling your story. You've done an amazing thing. And not just you. I know. It's the community there
yes.
as well, Ruth. Thank you so much. And keep up the great work. We'll check in with you maybe in the future.
Okay. That'll be fine.
Okay. And see how it's going. If anyone wants to contact you, is there a way they can do that?
Yes. Our phone number here is area code 757-442-3797. Our email address is nrcdg@intercom.net.
Okay, wonderful. I've got it written down. If anyone needs it, they can email me.
And a fax number. We have a fax number if they want to fax us.
Okay, real quick.
That's 757-442-2363.
Thank you, Ruth Wise.
And thank you so much for calling.
Okay. We will be back with another segment. We appreciate your time and your phone calls, your emails. Coming up next on The Peter Worby Show, I'm Julian Jordan.
What's the one key ingredient missing from the relief of allergies that hurt? The pain reliever in Advil. Yes, Advil. New Advil Allergy Sinus is a one-of-a-kind formula that takes the pain out of allergies in a whole new way. A recent study showed that when Advil is combined with its allergy medicine, you get better relief of your worst allergy symptoms, all with less of the medicine that makes you drowsy. Advance to new Advil Allergy Sinus and stop allergies that hurt.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No, I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico. Welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Times like this, I could hear a little Bob Marley and really like it. I always, anyway, and his messages of peace. We need more of that. Let's go to Richard in Santa Fe, and he called earlier, had a guest, but you called back. Thank you for calling back, Richard. Let's get your opinions on the air. Hello.
Hello, Julene.
Hello.
That was a very inspiring segment there with Ruth Wise.
Wasn't she great?
Yeah, she's great. We have something in common. The neighborhood I live in here in Santa Fe, when I bought my little house here, it also was called Dog Patch.
Was it really?
It had a Dog Patch reputation.
Yeah.
It's on the foothills on the east side of town, and boy, it's that doesn't anymore. And not on this part of Santa Fe. This is where everybody wants to live now.
Oh, and I bet it's a whole lot of money to live there now, right?
Well, I'm paying more in my taxes than I paid for the entire house when I bought it back in the 1960s.
Wow. That says a lot.
So may the citizens of New Road do well.
Can you believe what she's done? She's really just turned it all around. And I know she says it wasn't just her, but I've got to give her a lot of the credit.
I really am inspired by anything that's, the act locally kind of democracy.
Oh, you know it. And there's a lot of that going on in Santa Fe.
Yes, there is.
You're very lucky.
Well, I wish it would kind of seed and spread outward from places like Santa Fe.
Well, yeah, hopefully. And also from places like the New Road community in Virginia, because that would be something. We need that all around the United States because we know that, as Ruth was saying, there are pockets of poverty all over the United States that are just being ignored.
But I love the self-empowerment when it comes from the people who live in a neighborhood. We're going to pull this together.
Absolutely. And you were part of that where you live?
Well, I've been involved in neighborhood groups and so on, but I can't credit myself for what's happening to the property values around here, no.
Okay.
I want to talk about something else, though.
Sure.
The earlier discussion regarding the Greens. I'm a registered Green Party member.
Okay.
I was a lifelong Democrat, and in a certain sense, I guess I still have the soul of a Democrat, although I think the Democrats have lost their soul to a large extent. But
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, I think it can be put back into the party, but I think it's going to take the Greens to do it. And my own position has been, and it's rather controversial among active Greens, is that the Greens should invade